All right, it's book club day 12. Great to be with you again. Hope you enjoyed this chapter as much as I did. This chapter houses one of my favorite lines in this entire book. And I think the message in this chapter is really, really important. And so excited to dive into this today. And so today, I think the main message here is that we so often think that the devil needs big things, right? He talks about how the tempters have this their own temptation, right? They're dealing with their own temptation of thinking they have to have some superior, super evil, twisted, maniacal sins, right? That they can brag about. If they can get their patient to be one of these super sinful people, that is inherently better. And what Screwtape is telling Wormwood here is that there's no need to go that far above and beyond. You know, this concept that we don't need spectacular sins necessarily in order to get this man to hell, right? In order to drag this man to hell, in order to take him away from God, we don't need these spectacular things. Sure, they're great to brag about. They're impressive. They bring us immense joy, right? They bring the demons immense joy when we are deeply rooted in sin, when we're absolute slaves to sin. But they don't need that in order to get us away from heaven. They don't need those things in order to pull us away from God. And what he says, frankly, is that there's not, you know, he points out at different points in different chapters and at different points in the book that certain things make us more amusing to demons, but that they're not necessarily more valuable, right? They're not making things more fruitful. And so here he talks about how you no longer need a good book, which he really likes, to keep him from his prayers or his work or his sleep. A column of advertisements in yesterday's paper will do. You can make him waste his time not only in conversation, which he enjoys, with people whom he likes, but in conversations with those whom he cares nothing about on subjects that bore him. You can make him do nothing at all for long periods. You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at dead fire in a cold room. I thought that is so deep to think about this, that essentially we get to this point where he doesn't need to tempt us with sin. He can tempt us with nothingness, right? The devil, the demons can tempt us with basically nothing. They can just get us to be distracted, just to waste time. And I mean, it's crazy to think about what C.S. Lewis would think now in today's world of social media, today's world of constant distractions. I find myself so often just scrolling when I'm bored, or I find myself in line. It sickens me how quickly I go to pull my phone out. I find myself with these habits and these tendencies that I really don't like, I really don't enjoy, and I want to get rid of. And one thing that I think is a great idea here as we get close to the beginning of Advent is my wife Emily is going to be giving up social media for Advent. And I'm like, man, what a great idea. And what I'm going to try to give up for Advent is social media scrolling. I'd like to build some momentum in posting on social media here before the end of the year. But what a great thing, and something that we should all think about. We should all discern, right? I know Exodus 90, for me, one of the best parts of Exodus 90 is just not having social media for a little while. The fruits of that are really incredible. And I've always really enjoyed it, even though it is challenging and it's difficult and it's not as fun at first. And you're like reconciling with boredom for the first time in a long time, reuniting with wonder, and just thinking about things in different ways. But it's beautiful to have that time back. It's beautiful to stop and think and just to be curious again and just to hear your own thoughts and spend time wondering about different things and thinking and having conversations with people in person instead of... I think it's so sad when you go to a restaurant. I just saw it just recently. It really struck me last weekend at Panera for some reason. On a Sunday, went to Panera for my mom and Emily and myself. And it was just crazy to see like a father and daughter. She was probably 12 or 13. Both of them just scrolling on their phones the entire time I was there for 15 minutes, not said a word to each other. There was like a girls sports team of like high school girls. Same thing, just scrolling on their phones, not really talking to each other. And I'm like, man, how sad is that? That's where we've gotten, that's what we do now, right? That this is where we're just kind of at as a society, that people just scroll on their phones. And so you think about how easy it is now to just be distracted, just watch that extra episode of TV. I think about it. I have this temptation probably nightly. I'm not kidding. Probably nightly, I consider either scrolling on my phone, watching TV, or reading before bed. And I'm like defeated this year. I don't know if there's been a single night where I've actually said, I'm going to turn the screens off and I'm going to actually sit here and read, which is not good. And then I end up staying up later. I sleep worse because I'm having all this screen time, all this light in my eyes before I try to go to bed. And so these are the small things that we start to recognize as we read this book that we can pick up on and say, okay, I need to make some changes in my life. I love this. We're getting towards my favorite quote here. He says, you will say that these are very small sins. And doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness, is what I was referring to at the beginning. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. Away from the light and out into nothing. He says, murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. That's one of my favorite lines of the whole book. Because again, this is something we were just talking about again recently at RCIA. And it's this concept of like, oh, well, I can just kind of generally be a good person. And God will use softball for some men. He'll use pickup intramural basketball, NFL obsession, fantasy football. Think of all the different things, these different hobbies. For a lot of families, sports, right? We get into sports seasons. A lot of families, when their kids get into like the travel sports age and all kinds of things. You see people just stop going to mass, right? And so he's like, yeah, you don't need to get the husband to commit adultery. You don't need to get the wife to, you know, have emotional affairs with other men. You don't need to, force them to get a divorce. Just let them have a dry, cold marriage. Replace God with sports on Sundays, and they'll just casually and gradually slip away from the light and out into nothingness. Murder is no better than cards if cards will do the trick. And so what are the cards in your life? What are the cards in my life? What are the things that we're going to and we're avoiding our prayer life when we think about how we're doing with praying, reading, and exercise, the three kind of keys to a life of excellence? What are the things that are keeping us away from that? What are the things that are pushing us closer and closer to nothingness and away from God? It's these small decisions. It's these little decisions where you start to see that the devil just gives you slight suggestions, little things you can do. You've had a long day, right? And sure, reading is actually relaxing and beneficial and true enjoyment and pleasure, which we're going to get to in the next chapter. But don't worry about that. Just waste your time. You need to relax. You need to take it easy. Turn your mind off for a little bit. Just watch some TV. Watch some TV that is inappropriate, you know, scroll social media where you'll see things that are probably inappropriate. And don't pick up a good book. Don't pick up Bible. Don't listen to Hallo before bed. Just waste some time. You deserve it after all. So we start to hear the voice of the devil in our heads and start to be more aware of it through these things. And it doesn't matter how small the sins are. The other thing I think with this is just remembering that. I think he points out really well here something that most Catholics and Protestants have forgotten, that small sins matter, right? When we're consistently choosing small sins, that like each one is a step away from God. And sure, sometimes we may take huge leaps, and sometimes it's just small steps. But those small steps add up over time, right? And so this idea that just because we're not sinning in some massive way, we can feel good about ourselves, that's what the devil wants us to think. And so let's keep that in mind as well. And so maybe an examination of conscience is a good thing for us to do today before bed, to evaluate our lives, but especially to evaluate in ways just today. How have we sinned in small ways that may have been offensive to God? And how can we repent of those, try to change our ways, and take small steps closer to God tomorrow? All right. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.